Ready, Nick?
I'm ready.
All right, buddy.
All right, ready?
Yeah.
Ready.
Hey, John, I was gone last week, so I really have a question for you. What happened last week?
Yeah, you ditched us.
I ditched you. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Actually, we didn't rip into you too bad. Like the last time.
They were nice. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We talked a lot of shit the last time you were gone, but this time we were fairly polite. Let's see. Last week we talked about Polar, which was a staff pick. We had to rotate the staff picks. So that's what we're doing all month long, guys, is we're rotating like some staff picks. Like if you remember video stores, if you were around when they were around, or if you want to imagine that they still exist, there used to be a shelf in the back you could go directly to and see like what was the staff pick of the week, right? And it'd be like a recommendation. So that's what we did.
Mm-hmm.
And we also talked about the butt dance of the Oscars. It was kind of a null year, except for Mads Mikkelsen was in the movie we covered last week, and also he was in the Best Picture internationally. That's what we did last week. And on tonight's show, it's pretty interesting because we're joined by Zach for a home video exclusive, and we're going to get to talk about his movie, which is like a send-up, a hilarious send-up of like millennial culture. It's a horror comedy, 15 Things You Didn't Know About Bigfoot, number one, will blow your mind. It's your debut feature. Is that right, Zach?
Yeah, it's the first feature I've ever made. I've edited on some TV shows before, but this is the first time. I was going to say this is the first time anyone's trusted me to make a movie, but nobody trusted me. I just went and made it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. We just went out and made a movie, baby.
Love it.
Yeah.
He's done a ton of, you know, for the audience out there, he's done a lot of work, a lot of editing for like, Your Pretty Face is Going to Hell, some other Adult Swim stuff.
Yeah, I did some stuff at Adult Swim. I did Squidbillies, Your Pretty Face is Going to Hell. And then I did, I worked on some other weird stuff they did. They did like an April Fool's thing that was like 4 hours long that I think I cut like 10 minutes on it. But somehow it's still on my IMDb.
Yeah.
10 minutes is 10 minutes.
Exactly. Yeah. I think they just threw that fucking thing together, man. I don't think nobody can really care for 4 hours. You know what I mean? Like really care about making something that's that long. Maybe they did. Maybe I'm just being judgmental, but I think they just fucking threw that thing together.
Depends on your tolerance level, really. Like,
well, we're generally like our crew is like generally pretty much fans of like a lot of the stuff that comes out from Adult Swim, like. You remember that one, Too Many Cooks? Did you see that one?
Oh, loved it.
Yeah. Dude, I know that guy. That dude, the director of that, Chris Kelly. Well, he also is the creator of Your Pretty Face is Going to Hell. And
oh, wow.
And you know what's funny is I worked on his like sequel to that, but not like barely. He wanted me to produce it originally, and then he just like got a different producer put in a better bid than me on it. And then he just had me be his assistant because I think he just wanted me to hang out. So it was just like, yeah, just come down to set. We'll just like pay you $100 a day to fucking like chill. And then like, I mean, I still had to like order lunch and shit, but it was weird. Mm-hmm. It was weird. He was like, anyway, but, my point was, everybody sees that credit on my IMDb now and all these people that are like writing about the movie, they fucking keep bringing it up. They keep bringing up this weird. They like
keep it's gonna people, haunt. It's gonna follow you, yeah,
dude. It's weird. Like, people who like write about movies and stuff, they don't. I think they just like do research for like 5-ish minutes. You know what I mean? And they're like, oh, I can see traits of the commercial he cut back in 2013 in this movie he made. Like, sure,
whatever
man.
Fits their clickbait article, right, for their blog.
But exactly.
If I'm honest with you, we're not above doing that either, but we did take the time to watch your movie.
We do that sometimes, yeah.
Yeah.
I love to get credit for watching your movie. And we're going to get into Zach's movie a little bit deeper, but there are some home video headlines we want him to participate in and talk about what's going on in like the larger world of TV and movies. But also because it is a staff pick episode, we actually, well, it wasn't a hard sell, really. I think you kind of like dove right into having to watch Serial Mom with us.
Yeah, I watched Serial Mom, baby. It did. By the way, I liked in your invite. It was like if Zach doesn't have time, he can also just not watch it and just make it up. I was like, yeah.
I really like the movie.
Yeah, I'm just like, yeah. It was a real crazy turn when she went to space and then came back and like she became RoboCop.
You're thinking of Serial Mom Part 2. That's the sequel. Yeah. Everything goes to space, right?
Yeah. Exactly. That was crazy. They put Serial Mom into orbit. That was nuts.
Yeah, I love that scene.
That's the third movie, guys. You're missing Serial Mom.
Breaks the first headline, actually, because the first headline is about Disney's Alien TV show. They officially confirmed that it takes place on Earth. So we'll talk about what do we think about Disney Plus handling the new Alien show. It's kind of weird. It's like Disney, but it's also Hulu, but it's also FX, but it's also Disney. So
Is it coming out on Disney Plus? Is it coming out on Disney Plus or Hulu?
That's what I was going to ask too. Yeah,
I think Hulu.
Okay. If it's on Hulu,
they're trying to keep those two worlds separate.
Yeah, not Disney Plus for Alien, please. No. Yeah.
Let's start with you, Nicky. Is that your general consensus? Don't do it.
I'm impressed by what Hulu does, but I don't. I would rather give who's the guy who did District 9? I'd rather give that guy that chance to do the sequel to Aliens. You know, I loved his art. I've been dying to see that version, you know?
Mm. Yeah, man. That'd be pretty tight.
That'd be pretty cool.
What's that?
What do you think, Dave?
You know what? After the TV show Fargo came out, I'm like, all bets are off. At least give it one season to see if it works. And if it doesn't, I'll just won't watch it. Fargo works so good. Why not Alien? Sure.
Yeah.
You know, I think what you just said is how the industry works in reverse. Like, they're like, that? Fuck it, dude. Fargo? Shit. I don't know. Why not, man? Why the fuck not, dude?
Well, we already know Zach's opinion then. We don't have to ask him. Fuck it. Why not?
Yeah, fuck it, dude. People have heard of it. Fuck. Yeah. Whatever.
Adam, do you second that or you got your own take on it?
I don't know. I don't watch any Disney stuff, so.
Yeah,
but I think there's real grudge there. I just don't have Disney Plus, but maybe there is a real grudge there. I don't know.
Dude, how many of you guys have Disney Plus?
I do because I have kids.
That's everybody, except
I have a teacher wife.
Back door. Adam, you know you have a back door to watch all of our Disney Pluses. So
yeah, I can give you the password, dude. Okay. Yeah, I'm just saying.
Yeah, man, that's a pretty wholesome. I haven't made the effort.
Oh, it's awesome.
No, it's wholesome. No, it's like everything is no, awesome, dude. Everything is no. It's wholesome as hell, dude. Everything is like PG at the hardest.
Kitty bang bang.
Yeah.
I mean, dude. I mean, what's the Mandalorian is probably like the hardest thing they do, and like that's just you know nobody out. Does anybody get like beheaded in that? It's mostly just people like getting shot, and then sparks come out of their chest and stuff.
They shoot it creatively.
Well, we're gonna go that angle.
Yeah. Technically, the Simpsons movie has a penis in it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can see like the Marvel movies went astray, right? Like during
Homer's
the Disney, see how the Marvel movies changed, right? Like they had a slightly more of an edge, right? And then all of a sudden it was a little softer, but they still included a character that I didn't expect them to include in the Falcon and the Winter Soldier, the John Walker character.
I haven't watched it.
Agent America, so
was that anyway, U.S. Agent?
Yeah, U.S. Agent. Thank you. I was drawing a blank on that. Yeah, U.S. Agent. This is like the FU Captain America.
Kind of vigilante-ish. Yeah.
The next thing is, I don't know if Cronenberg is, because we were making a joke last week. Are you an anime fan, Zach? Do you like anime at all?
A little bit. I'm not really deep into like anything that has like 100+ episodes. Like that's the difference for me is like when it's like serialized like 7 seasons of something. I usually don't get into that, but I'm into like the movies and stuff like that. Yeah.
So do you like the horror stuff like Vampire Hunter D?
I haven't gotten into those yet.
Oh, okay.
Are they on anything? Are they on like HBO Max or anything like that?
Disney.
I don't know.
Princess Mononoke. All the safe animes are on HBO Max. Shows are on there, but a lot of people
Crunchyroll,
all of these 1980s and 90s like real hardcore anime stuff on like YouTube and Vimeo and what's that other one, Daily Motion, stuff's floating around for sure.
Crunchyroll.
But basically we were making a joke like what if somebody like David Cronenberg like got his hands on like an anime property and like adapted it, right? Like live action, you know, his style and stuff like that. What would that be like? And then I was reading that he's going to do Crimes of the Future, which he did this weird movie. It's hard to say weird, right? Because that's like his whole thing, right?
That's his style, yeah.
He did a movie called Crimes of the Future with a lot of voiceover and stuff in like 1970. And they're like, oh, well, now he's doing it with Viggo Mortensen again. And it maybe it's a remake, or maybe it's a whole thing with like just the title and the setting. I don't know.
Yeah, wait, did he direct the first one? He's going to remake his own movie?
Yeah, yeah, he made this movie.
I've never even heard of this movie.
VHX 1380 or whatever that thing is that like Lucas made a couple times. It's kind of like his.
Yeah.
His, so like, I don't know where he's going to go. It's like what he did Eastern Promises, right? About the mafia with Viggo.
Yeah. So, and History of Violence. Yeah, he's done a few with him.
Yeah.
The one about Freud and Jung.
I just want to get everybody's read on what do they think, like, what do they think about Cronenberg like coming back in a big way with Viggo again?
I'm excited. I want to see it. I would love to. I love their partnership together, and I love David Cronenberg's The Fly is one of my favorites. So of course I'm down.
Goldblum Fly. Yeah. Brundlefly. Mm-hmm.
And Brundlefly. Yeah.
Yeah. When's the last time he did anything that's like what he's known for? You know, I mean, like all mutiny and shit.
It's been a long time.
Probably yeah, Existenz was the last thing, and that was well over 20 years ago.
Damn. But
he's getting really good at violence. Really out there. So if he goes back to the original source material, then it'll be pretty trippy. It'll be like stuff, you know, to the next level. So
let's get him back in the saddle, dude.
Yeah.
Let's do it up.
Did he do Naked Lunch? I forget.
Yes. He did.
Yeah. He did. Okay. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I missed that. I miss that.
I miss goopy Cronenberg.
I do too.
So I don't know. I mean, Netflix is going to drop Sailor Moon. Maybe we'll skip that one because we're getting a little long in the headlines and we want to get to Zach's movie. So one last thing, because this is kind of like pulling on history. Like, what do you guys think about the casting of Javier Bardem as Desi Arnaz and Nicole Kidman as Lucille Ball in Being the Ricardos by Aaron Sorkin? That's in development right now.
What? I didn't know about that shit.
You didn't read the notes,
Dude, that sounds like a fucking. Cool. That sounds like a sketch. That sounds like SNL making fun of like a gritty reboot or something like that.
Is it going to be comedy or is it going to be the drama behind the scenes? Like, what is
drama?
It?
It's got to be
about the falling of the.
It's Aaron
the
Sorkin, so it's got to be drama.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Damn.
I mean, they're good actors.
About the rise and fall. Yeah.
I mean, he's a witty writer, so there'll be humor, but I don't think it's going to be a straight-up comedy.
Yeah.
Well, who knows? And, guys, there's another movie coming out on May 7th, video on demand. It's called something like 15 Things You Didn't Know About a Bigfoot, but number one's going to blow your mind. We actually have the director. He's sitting here. He's been sitting here this whole night wondering, like, why did I sign up for this shit?
This show, yeah.
So instead of just, like, commenting on his movie and, like, doing, like, binge now, binge later, binge never, let's actually do something we do, like, a favorite bit on the show when we talk about our movies of the week, our selections. So we'll actually talk about, like, our favorite bits from Zach's movie and then plug him to see if he's got, like, a favorite moment that he recalls from shooting to totally put him on the spot. We'll see how he feels about that.
And all of it's going to be like, it's when it's over. When it was over, that's when I was happiest.
Oh, okay. There you go. Yeah. He's quick on the jump, folks. So you got Zach's answer already. I was trying to build the suspense, but you got it already. He told you.
Oh, yeah.
When it was done. Best moment. All right. Hey, Nikki Late. You want to let Zach know what your favorite bit is and if you got any questions about
it? My favorite bit is the I got a bunch of questions because when do I ever get to talk to a director? But my favorite bit is like really just the acting and the banter between you guys. And like just everyone, the acting just flew and I love the camera work. And I like I'm such a technical guy. Like what'd you edit it on? What'd you shoot it on?
I mean, we edited on Premiere, which is like pretty standard. But then we shot with a Sony FS700, most of it, like probably 95% of it. And we went with that because our producer, Tim, had he'd actually shot for Vice before. And this movie was originally called The Vice Guide to Bigfoot back when it was on the festival circuit until we
totally
had to change the name. Yeah, but we told him what we wanted to do. We were like, we wanted to like look like the TV shows and everything. We wanted to have that style. And he already like had shot for Vice. So he was pretty much like, yeah, man, just this is the shit I shoot for Vice on my gigs. You should just take it. He was like, this is exactly what it's going to look like. You know, he'd shot on a few things for Viceland. And we kind of agreed too when we were going into this, like we all kind of dislike when movies look better than they should. Like when it's supposed to be a security camera, but it like, has depth of field and like it's like
drives me nuts. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I loved when you cut to like the YouTube thing. I love that. Like you did all
that. We shot that on like a handy cam. Like we borrowed that from my girlfriend's dad. It's like a 15-year-old camera we just like put in his hands.
Cause that drives me crazy too. Like I'm just like, oh my god.
When you're like, how's the security camera look so fucking nice? And it's like
at the same angle. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And can I ask one more? How many days did you shoot?
Dude, that was so we did we knocked out all of Jeff's stuff in like 14 days, I think. Which is like it was like 80 pages of 105 pages or something. We knocked out like most of it. And then the rest of it, if you'll notice, all the scenes that don't have Jeff in it have like 10 fucking people in it. So the movie is like this, like we could knock out 85 pages in like 2 weeks. And then the rest of it was just a ton of scheduling because it was like, now we need 12 people in a room for this one. So we can't schedule that for 3 weeks. So we have to, it took like 6 months after that. Okay. So we knocked out like 80 pages in 2 weeks just and then like and then like 20 pages over like 6 months.
But did that allow you to start editing and then figure out like, oh, I need to go back and you know what? Why don't we shoot it this way?
That was actually,
kind of a beautiful freedom, I think. So.
It was actually like a huge advantage because we made like 90% of a movie and then watched it and we were like, this movie sucks.
Yeah,
we could watch it and be like, this part blows. This part needs to be like, and then you could also, you can save other scenes by being like, if we fit a theme into this scene we haven't shot yet, then it will make the rest of the movie seem very smart.
Definitely. Nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
So before I forget, I want to play the theme song because it's funny. And then Dave, get your stuff ready and Adam, get your favorite bits ready. We'll be back with Zach in like 40 seconds. Exactly.
Do it up.
Crack open a cold box of wine or pour something cold on ice because it's the Binge Watchers podcast.
Bam, we're back. Dangerous Dave, let's kick it over to you. Your favorite bit from Zach's movie and ask him a question or two.
I had quite a few, actually, or quite a few bits, but I'll just kind of focus on the ones that really got me. Your movie came on really fast and strong with the laughs already because I've been subjected to tons and tons of van life videos. The minute you had those two girls or the two girls said, urban camping, I was fucking dying because I'm like, that is so not far from the truth. Some of those videos I've been subjected to. Now, you kind of answered one question I had, which was, people on your crew working for Vice, but where'd you get your main guy from, Jeffrey? Like, I feel like I've seen him somewhere, and I looked up his IMDb credits, and he only has one other thing, but he has a face I feel like I've seen somewhere.
He's an actor in Atlanta. We're all from Atlanta, and he'd been in like a bunch of shorts and stuff before, but he's not like famous or anything. All the people in this movie I'd made a bunch of shorts with, and so dozens and dozens. And so it was great having like a shorthand to all these people, and everybody basically was like a text away. I didn't use casting for any of this.
That's
like,
so nice.
I just texted people and was like, you want to be in this? Well, but it was also nice. Cause like when writing it, we already knew like, well, this guy is funny in this way. So let's like give him a little cameo, and this person's funny like this. Everybody just shows up and crushes it. You know what I mean? For 3-4 minute cameos. Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
Is that
all you got, Dave? We really had a good time making fun of like the fake Vice stories, you know.
I was dying with each one.
Yeah. Yep. All that was a good time.
That's your cue, Adam.
Okay, good. All right.
Double A, baby.
I never know when I'm interrupting.
I was trying to transition.
Oh, okay. He, like no point or nothing. Okay.
Adam's
so
nervous.
I am nervous. I'm like, oh, this movie's so good. Okay. But the thing that really got me is when they find the dead body in the woods and he keeps trying to talk serious about it. It's like the anti-Logan Paul finding the dead body in the Japanese woods.
Yeah.
And he starts talking all serious about it. Like, you know, who's this guy?
Yeah. He says his inner monologue. This, blah, blah,
blah. And then immediately he's interrupted by projectile vomiting in the background. Right.
Yeah.
but it was funny the first time. All right. and then he kept hitting it. He kept hitting that button. It reminded me of that scene in The Simpsons with Sideshow Bob, and he keeps stepping on the rakes, and the scene doesn't end, and he gets hit him in the face, and he's like, oh, you know, I don't know, but
yeah,
it was that kind of funny. It was a repetition, and you kept hitting it. It's so good,
dude. You gotta always go for puke, man. You always throw some puke in a scene. It makes it better.
That's kind of rare though.
Second act doubts, you just throw in some vomiting, right? Yeah,
man. If anybody ever doesn't like know what to do on set, just like quit, make them puke, you know. Improvise some vomit.
Let it go. Yeah.
That's the first time I've laughed at vomit.
You puked on one of the last episodes.
I'll get sick again.
Let me get a little sentimental now, because one of my favorite bits in your movie was the scene by the lake, right? With it, and they stumble across it. And, you know, it gets really heartfelt for a second. Two bros broing down, and he tells them about his life. And, you know, and you have this one little poignant moment. And then you break the tension with a joke, which is great because you line up a punchline, right? And the timing's great because if we get this episode out on time, it's going to be on Mother's Day. And the fact that one of your characters has a mother issue is perfect. you know what I mean? Like, getting the time to better, you know?
Dude, I didn't think – what's just funny about that is I didn't think that was – like, I mean, I know why it's funny. You know what I mean? Like, but I didn't think it would be like a real like punchline. You know what I mean? And then I didn't think it would be that funny. Like, I just thought it'd be kind of entertaining. And like, people really laugh at when he says, fuck you, mom. Like, people really connect with that. And then, somebody later was telling me like, it's super fucking dark, man.
Whatever. It seems to fit the tone, right? Like, it is a story for our generation, right? Because it's like in the beginning, mm-hmm. You have all these things like, oh, here's our handcrafted pills. Each one's a different size, right? It's the same kind of vibe. You know what I mean? It's the same kind of story. Like, millennials would be doing that kind of shit. And also, that's the kind of revelation you would hear at a lake like that. You know what I mean? The mom wouldn't care about his little cryptozoology project that's taken his life for 10 years or whatever. And he doesn't have a traditional 401k, right? And his girlfriend ditches him, but he's tracking Bigfoot. You know what I mean? That's what matters. You know what I'm saying?
Out there living his dreams, baby.
Yeah. There you go. I do have to plug some freaking sponsors.
Do it.
The keep us rolling. I did build some screens, so at least you have something to look at while I read some garbage. Okay, here we go.
Since I'm new, you should sell them all to me directly.
Yeah, sell them right there.
tell me what we're doing.
Yeah. So
Zach, would you buy this?
Messages with some more podcast stuff, and then we'll finally get to Serial Mom. Yeah. So stay tuned. Or go watch Serial Mom, or even better yet, go watch Zach's movie. If you're tired of us, go watch the Bigfoot movie. Zach, plug the title real quick, and then I'll go into the ads.
15 Things You Didn't Know About Bigfoot. Number one will blow your mind. Out on May 7th on Amazon Prime and iTunes and Google Play, I think. Yeah.
So after downloading that, go buy and download everything I'm about to tell you as well. Then
that's
a perfect day. Yeah. Do it all. Just go crazy one night.
And if you forgot that it's Mother's Day coming out, like, go buy her, get her Zach's movie. She'll love it.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Sign up for like our Amazon trial. We'll be happy. Here we go. All right. So let's see what's going on. As you know, to keep the podcast rolling and cruising, we got to have some sponsors and affiliates. And this week, we have an exciting new partnership with Amazon Music. As an influencer, we can give you 90 days. I thought it was 30 days. We got 90 days free, access to millions of songs, unlimited access to any of these songs. It's on demand without interruption. You can listen ad-free. What these guys don't know is sometimes I have another headphone in my ear, an earbud. So if I'm tired of AA, or Dave's getting a little too dangerous, or Nick's getting a little too late, and I'm waiting for him all night long to do a podcast, I'll just hop into my Amazon Music Unlimited. If you want to try it out, just visit AmazonMusic.com/BingeWatchers. Now, let me tell you about Acorn TV. If I'm tired of listening to music, then I pop over and see what's the best of British and beyond. Now, while TV may be a saving grace for many of us, I'm sure a lot of you feel like you're caught up on every single show that's out there. What could be left? But you haven't explored, what, Acorn TV? Check this out. There's always something new. There's hundreds of exclusive shows from around the world. You got two of my favorites. You got Midsummer Murders. And I'm really digging this Murdoch Mysteries. It has William Shatner playing Mark Twain. What the hell? Yeah, if you want to see Shatner as Mark Twain, take a look at this. It incorporates a bunch of real history and some crime scenes from the turn of the 19th century. They have like a night vision goggle apparatus. I don't know what's going on, but check that out. It's from Canada. It's Toronto. Murdoch Mysteries. If you want to stream it, you can try it free for 30 days. Go to Acorn TV, acorn.tv with our promo code. Now, this is the weird thing. This year, they're like, well, you're only going to get free television if you put in this promo code with lowercases, whatever. So you have to enter the code with all lowercase letters, which is kind of ridiculous, but it is case sensitive. acorn.tv/nothing. Punch in binge watchers with lowercases, and you're going to get 30 days free. What else is going on? Oh, here's a funny one. From our friends at realpaper.com, if you use our promo code BINGEWATCHERS, you can get 25% off sustainable toilet paper. It's made out of bamboo. They have a mission to bring the whole world clean toilets, help them out with their goals, get 25% off an order of bamboo toilet paper delivered right to your door. Since we're living through the apocalypse, you don't want to worry about toilet paper for the next rush at the markets there. Try it out. BINGEWATCHERS, 25% off, realpaper.com. We've also been promoting the heck out of this movie from Paramount, Percy vs. Goliath. It's about a farmer. He takes on, it's Monsanto, but in the words, they don't ever write Monsanto, but they say agricultural giant. It's got Academy Award winner Christopher Walken playing the farmer. It's based on a true story with a court case that set a precedence for taking on the big corporations. Percy vs. Goliath. If you want a free copy of this, all you got to do is leave us a comment on CastBox FM. Talk about what you thought of Zach's episode and presence on the podcast. You can leave us a note in iTunes. We're hoping for a 5-star. If you want this movie for free, hit us up with a comment. Email us. If you got a movie of the week suggestion, email us and let us know. We'll put you in for a digital copy. That's about it. Now we can just go back to the show. That wasn't too bad. We're back with our feature presentation, which this week is Serial Mom. What is it about? Housewife loses it, goes on a rampage, takes some people out in her hometown. Directed by John Waters and written actually by John Waters. Everybody knows him as Baltimore's, I don't know, pop culture satirist. Like all this stuff is satire, I think.
Mm-hmm. And, I think so. Yeah.
One of our favorites. I don't know, Zach, what do you think of John Waters in general? You like him?
I mean, he's tight. This movie was refreshing.
That's a funny word.
Yeah. It's like a cold drink of water.
Yeah. Dave's gonna hit us with some trivia, actually. Hey, Dave, wanna tell us what you found out?
All right. Yes. This was actually John Waters' biggest production with a $13 million budget, and actually really? The biggest star.
Holy cow.
Yeah, this was like the biggest he ever got. And the first time he got to work with a big star, everybody he'd worked before that was either somebody on the rise or on their way out. So like, you know, you got Johnny Depp before he was Johnny Depp.
Yeah, I was like Johnny Depp, okay.
The studio originally, after they saw it, they did not want to release it because they claimed, you know, it was too violent. She set a kid on fire, and John Waters pointed out that was in the script, pointing out they didn't actually read it. So he set up a screening at a guild and they loved it. And they said, oh, well, they like you. So they set up another screening in an area that was he was doomed to fail. Uh-huh. So long story short, Kathleen Turner talked to a journalist and they wrote an article saying leave it alone. And the studio gave in and the movie ended up being released. So they use the song Tomorrow from Annie, and the owners to the rights of that song actually charged $60,000, which is more than they normally charge because they actually read the script and didn't like the content, but they still sold it to them.
Damn. Wow. That's damn. Crazy. Yeah. It's the total opposite of like what you usually hear where it's like, we really liked it. No, yeah. They were just like, fuck this movie.
Dude, so, but we'll charge you extra. Yeah.
Yeah. In that scene, I was thinking, I was like, so they purchased the rights to the song, but there was like barely a frame from the movie. So I was like, they definitely just bought the song. Right. Like there was no Annie movie, right? In that scene. Anyway, it boggled my mind. Now I know why they probably couldn't afford the movie.
Right. Yeah. But the punk band in the movie that play the Camel Lips, they're actually an all-girl punk band, L7. Actually, their music's really good. I've heard quite a bit of it.
I think I've heard about them, yeah.
Are they from Baltimore?
I can't remember where they're from. I'm not sure about that. Now, actually, because this, you know, it's funny, we mentioned Fargo earlier, and this, like, Phil, this came out before Fargo, but this actually, because of the text at the beginning and the end of the movie, some people actually believe this was a real case and was, like, an actual drama versus the comedy that it was, which I just kind of find interesting. Did?
Like, they actually thought some this people, was real? Or, yeah. Like, based on
but then some people thought Blair Witch was real, and people thought Fargo was real, yeah. So, you know.
But this is more funny. I don't know, okay? Yeah.
So, Nick, hit us with your favorite bit, then. What did you like best about Serial Mom?
Kathleen Turner. I thought her performance was so good. Oh, there she is. I thought her performance was great, and I thought, like, just she was having so much fun, and, like, just how she, once she realized she needed to take someone out, she did. And I also love the production design. I love John Waters' like style of capturing the 90s of this like look of this family town. So good. And Matthew Lillard. I think he's great.
And that,
so, yeah.
Which is funny because that was like a few years before Scream. Like it felt like this movie predated so many things that came out.
Right?
Like,
right yeah. Time.
I was looking this up before you hopped on here, and that was his first movie.
Was it?
This is his first movie, yeah.
Oh, this came out.
He's in one other.
Next, right?
He's in a video. Yeah, he had one credit before this, and it was like just a video or something. Mm. It looked like a short or something like that.
Oh wow!
Yeah, man, he's first movie is Serial Mom.
Gee, that's good performance. That's
a big break.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dave, what's your favorite bit? You're a longtime fan of John Waters. You got all his movies, right?
Well, yeah. Yeah, I do really? Actually. oh yeah, I love John Waters. You know, there's a few,
did you
but like,
pre-order the Funko Pop too.
I did actually
pre-order the John Waters doll.
Yeah, I a few of them. You know, we mentioned the leg killing, the killing somebody with a leg of lamb while Annie's playing that. That's pretty hilarious. But actually, just any moment between her and a Dottie Hinkle or the actress Mink Stoll, like she's calling, doing the obscene phone calls with her. And just that shit kills me every time. Is this a cocksucker residence? Like, just
yeah.
I've watched that scene over and over because it's just perfect comedy. And then later on, her taunting her at the courthouse, you know, and just pissing her off and getting her to look like an idiot. Just that dynamic just kills me every time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't think we have Adam here right now.
Yeah, I know. He bumped out. I don't know. He'll be back. He's trying to rejoin now, but we'll just. We'll move the order around. We'll go to Zach.
I'll tell him. Yeah. I'll tell you guys what Adam's favorite bit is.
There it is. Yes.
There we go.
Maybe. Is he back?
Oh,
what's up?
I am.
Oh, there we go.
The cat unplugged the whole computer. Like she hit the little button on the power.
Oh, we already did your favorite part for you. Or,
oh, really? What was it?
Well, Zach's doing it for you right now. So
he can.
Yeah,
have it.
His favorite part is probably it's probably just like the opening credits because you know he has no taste, man.
Whoa!
No, I'm just fucking kidding.
Yes.
You know what? Zach did his homework. He's played a few episodes.
He knows.
No, his that favorite bit was the movie within the movie with Chesty Morgan, the old ooh.
Yeah.
I did like I wrote down Chesty like Morgan to see if that was real.
What was your favorite?
It is
bit,
a real though, movie. Those are real movies. She's
done. I didn't mind it.
I carried them.
Wait, were they for real movies?
Those are real movies. Yeah. You can buy DVDs of them.
With Chesty Morgan?
Yeah, they're from like something.
He's Googling
weird video,
it now.
Right?
Look at the boyish glee. The boyish glee on his face as he searches Google. Anyway,
I realize I am now just Googling pornography while I'm talking to you guys.
Chesty Morgan, it's
your screen. And those like right on par for this show, actually.
This is great.
Whoa, hold on, you guys have to see this photo. It's not nude. But you have to see this. You have to see this tweet. Here, I'll put it in the chat.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
I'm gonna click on it.
Sweet. You're going to click on it. Very nice.
I'm going to click on it.
And now we're all going to this is a first.
We're waiting in anticipation here for the screen
share. Oh, wow. Oh, my gosh.
It's just Chesty Morgan when she's like 90.
Oh, my gosh. Look at those things. Wow.
Yeah, at the convention. It's like her at the convention.
How are y'all seeing it? I'm not seeing it. I got my innocence filter on.
I'm in love. Yes.
For the audience, it's just her when she's like 90. She has clothes on, but her tits are huge.
They're really big. Yeah.
Really big. I got to work a little bit harder. I got to put this into the podcast notes now so they have a reference point, right?
Yeah. You might have to reference. Yeah.
Right.
Okay. I don't know what's been discussed before, but did anybody take the killing with the slab of meat yet?
Yeah.
Nobody? Well, I briefly mentioned it, but you can go into more detail.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm grabbing the knife to kill her, and then I'm right above her, and other people are watching, and then I just walk away. You know, the idea of me being the serial mom, I don't know. I'm identifying with her character, maybe. Is that wrong? I don't know. But she goes back in the kitchen and she grabs the slab of meat. And you're like, what is she going to do with that? She's going to kill her the slab of meat? She kills her with the slab of meat.
Then she does it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. She was justified with that kill because she rented Annie. She doesn't rewind her videos and she lets her dog lick her feet for her pleasure. She deserves it. I'm sorry.
It's really the fact that she had the weird dog licking her feet fetish that the kill was justified. You know,
get them all.
Just about every kill has a reason in the movie, which is a little extra writing, which is good. Zach, did we take your favorite bit, or do you have another?
No. Probably my favorite. You know, it's funny you mentioned details because it's like every detail in this movie is what's bananas. It's like, that's what it is. It's like what does somebody do when they get home? They have a dog lick their feet, and like she was eating a crazy mint green sandwich. It's all anyway. The whole damn thing is just bonkers. But that kid masturbating so much. That kid, the fact that he was
way
like
too into it.
Yeah.
Well, it's just definitely a weird thing to be mentioning. That's his thing, is like pornography. He's always watching porn or handling porn. He has like physical magazines and shit. But then when he's like supposed to be masturbating, he's like literally like moving his whole bed, like it's like bouncing off the floor and shit.
And he's got his cover way up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's got like a fork situation going on. Yeah.
Yeah, that's how you do it.
He pinches forks.
While he's, jumping like 2 inches in the air off his fucking bed. Kid's great.
Yeah.
So I have two favorite bits, and if we got a second, I'll throw them out there. I like how her compulsion to kill lasts the entire movie, and she can't help herself towards the end, right? That's the spoiler alert. Sorry, I didn't warn the audience that time.
Oh, John!
Her compulsion to kill lasts
my gosh.
90 minutes, right?
And Johnny, spoiler, everybody.
Yeah. It's also funny that like it's completely obvious, except the courtroom, it falls apart, right? Like, nobody can convict this lady, even though it's completely obvious. Mm-hmm. And that, I guess it goes back to the satire on society or whatever. But I actually found myself enjoying this movie and going like, dang, let's go watch a bunch of 90s movies now. You know, like, let's just do that. Dave was like, what do you mean you missed the 90s? I was texting him. He's like, you mean in general? I was like, yeah, I just got a feeling after watching this movie. This movie.
Yeah, dude.
Well, I literally watched a movie that was in the video store from that movie the same day.
Funny.
I get it.
Hell yeah. This movie made me miss Capri Sun. Missing some 90s shit, man.
Absolutely. Did y'all notice that was
cooler.
L7 in the movie? But they were like called something else, and then you immediately see a flash of what that something else is. Yeah.
Well, you're talking about like Camel. Yeah, you guys were talking about like the influence of like movies like Scream and how they put the media in as characters. Like, nobody really touched on it, but how in this movie where like everybody's got a book deal or the TV movie deal, who's going to play you kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
We also like to pitch things. It's weird. We have a staff pick section, but the whole episode is staff picks, so it's kind of mind blowing. But usually we like to recommend what people are watching and what else we're watching, not just like what we're obligated to watch. So we'll go around the room.
Yeah.
And if you need something to watch this week, we'll have some recommendations. It could be anything you watch this week. So the order will, if Zach's ready, he can go first. Otherwise, we'll just go in our normal order.
Sure, man. Man, I'm late. I'm late on this one, but I just watched Death of Stalin. Really funny. If you haven't seen that yet. I just watched that like 2 weeks ago. And then have you guys seen the new movie Stowaway on Netflix?
I added it to the queue, but I haven't watched it yet.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good. I just watched that a couple nights ago. Yeah. It's
I thought the space looked kind of fake, and it didn't really get me that one. I wasn't very captivated by Stowaway.
Oh, wait, so you did watch it? Okay.
I watched it. I liked the premise, but I didn't necessarily like how they developed it. So good idea, but I guess the execution for me was kind of flawed.
I didn't see anything wrong with it. You know, like it wasn't like horrible, the space stuff. But not a whole lot like stood out. You know what I mean? Yeah. Yup. Probably those are my picks. Or have you guys seen that movie, I Care a Lot?
Oh, we love that movie. Yeah.
Great movie.
It's good.
Sounds good too.
So let's see. Stowaway. What was the other one you said?
The Stalin.
I Care a Lot.
Death of Stalin. And yeah. I Care a Lot.
Death of Stalin. He's one of the
characters in that
movie's
right?
Hilarious.
Yes.
Steve Buscemi, yeah.
Yeah, Steve Buscemi and Jeffrey Tambor.
All right, cool.
Crushing it for old guys.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like a sitcom.
I've been watching a little television show. It just started called Cruel Summer. It's like a teen drama, but it's not. It's more adult oriented. And the interesting thing about.
I thought that was supposed to be about slashers. I thought that was supposed to be about like.
No, it's about this girl who got captured. And then it's set in 1993, 1994, and 1995. And they're constantly cutting back and forth between the years in a style I've never seen before. It's really interesting. So they'll like have a scene like I'm talking in 1993. The camera will move over here and it'll be a year later. The girl's in like new dress up, you know, from the 1994. And then it'll switch. It's just the show is really done. I'm totally butchering it, but it's the creativity of how they go between each year and how the story flows. It's very, very fascinating. I would highly recommend it for its style. It's pretty cool.
It's on Freeform?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
There's only three episodes
so far.
I think
it's on Hulu because I saw it on my Hulu feed.
That's what I've been watching it on. I just found it really fascinating, just like kind of like really cool directing and visual style to it.
You might have sold me on that because the cover on the thing. I mean, I know you can't judge a book by its cover, but they aren't selling me on it.
No. I maybe watch an episode and maybe it'll, I mean, I was like, I don't know. And
what's the title again?
Cruel Summer.
Okay.
Like that amazing song from whoever that band was. Yeah.
Cruel Summer. Yeah.
Yeah, Bananarama. So, excuse me.
There it is.
Part of the Kid soundtrack.
Yes. Yeah.
Dave, what do you watch? Cool.
Oh, man, I've actually seen quite a few good things, but I actually just watched something today that, like, jumped to the top of the list. So in my effort to watch movies that I haven't gotten around to for the past my lifetime, I finally sat and watched Enemy Mine today with Quaid. Not Randy Quaid, Dennis Quaid.
I don't think I've seen that in, like, 30 years. Okay, yeah.
Dennis Quaid. I did not expect to get emotional at this movie, like, multiple times. Like, this... For a 35, no, nearly 40-year-old movie, like, it still surprised me. I didn't know I knew enough about it going in. But basically, an alien and a drac and a human get trapped on an island, or not an island, but you know, one of those things.
A planet.
Yeah, planet.
But they get trapped on a planet, and they're enemies, and they have to learn to, like, become friends to, like, you know, survive things, but it... You know, without spoiling much, because I didn't know a lot going in, and I'm just surprised at the emotional turns it takes and, like, different ways it goes. Like, it got me emotional more than once during this alien and human movie. So I highly recommend Enemy Mine. It's a great movie.
And it actually has a mine. It's being mined by the aliens.
Yeah, and there's actually an enemy, too.
Yeah.
They were both enemies.
Would you eat the green stuff, Dave?
I mean, if that's all I had to eat, I guess.
Jack looks kind of perplexed. Yeah. He's got a weird brow.
No, sorry. I'm looking up. Wasn't Enemy Mine based on, wasn't it like a remake kind of? Or am I crazy?
It's basically a remake of Hell in the Pacific, which was like.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
Bashir Mifune and an American guy who I can't remember.
Yeah.
Oh, was it like a war? Two war guys?
It was.
Yeah. It was
like
basically this
soldier.
Movie was a war movie back in the day. Yeah.
Oh, and they just
like an anti-war movie.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Basically.
Is the original good? How do you compare them, Dave?
I actually haven't seen it. I'm just aware of it.
Movie like. Okay, Enemy Mine is a good science fiction flick, and I it broke my heart that Dave said he finally got to it. He should have watched it already. But, like, his status as a binge watcher is falling. You're falling, Dave. You're failing us.
Well, shouldn't it be rising because I'm getting to these things?
He saw it, so now it's rising. But you didn't even know how low it was.
Okay, he mentioned a Mifune movie.
The adjustment is the same.
He's all right.
He's caught. Yeah. You didn't know
he was out. It balanced itself out. Yeah.
When you bring these up, you just got to be like, yeah, I watched Enemy Mine for the fourth time, and the thing I noticed about it, that's how you bring these things up. It's actually, yeah.
That was good.
No lie, Dave.
Yeah, never be watching something for the first time.
Yeah. Be dangerous, Dave. Lie to all of us. Don't get caught.
I'm dangerous by telling you I've never watched it before. That's how dangerous
you lose all,
I am.
You lose all your points if
breaks all the rules.
We catch you lying. So,
Adam, you've done a lot of talking. So, what are you watching? Tell us.
I watched. I've been watching The Serpent on Netflix. I don't know if any of you guys have heard of that, but it's about these guys. And
wait, hold on. We've all seen it. We've all watched it.
Yeah.
Oh, snap.
Even
good.
Me.
You like it?
Yeah.
Maybe. Really? You all like it?
I haven't seen it.
Okay.
I was lying.
Well, then I'll tell Zach about it.
We know what we thought about it, but we're asking you, Adam, to tell us what you think about it.
All right, Zach. I'm going to tell Zach about it. I'm not telling
you. Okay? Forget us. Go ahead.
All right.
Tell me.
So, Zach, it's about this guy, and he's posing to be a photographer, and he's poisoning and killing people in a string of serial murders. And the way he's getting away with it is by stealing all their passport information. And some lowly, like, clerk in an ambassador's office or something like that is trying to figure out how to deal with the police and get the information to the police. But he takes it to the police and they're like, yeah, we don't care about this. These are just foreigners. And he's like, don't you care about tourism? He's like, look how many people we've got that have been murdered that are our people. And he's like,
did you ruin it by telling us his methodology with the passports?
No, I don't think so.
Anyone spoiler?
You find out very early on exactly how he's doing it.
Okay.
But it's a fact that he's doing it and the guy's pursuing him and the other people who are seeing him do it and the way he gets away with it in public. I mean, you're like, why isn't anybody doing anything? You know?
Yeah. That's nuts that they're like, we don't care.
Yeah. And it's almost like you could walk outside and if one of your neighbors was offing people, like how many years could they get away with it before somebody actually stepped up to the plate? You know, oh, he's on vacation again. And I think those are his flower beds have bodies in them. Like Rear Window or something. How hard was it, you know, for them to catch the bad guy in that movie?
Hell
Perry
yes.
Mason.
Well, you sold me on it. I'm gonna watch it tonight.
Oh, cool. Well, it's like 8 or 9 episodes long. So it's a series, it's like a mini series. And it's based on all the real
Adam,
stuff.
He said he's gonna watch it tonight. You already sold him. Now you're flying too hard.
Yeah, I know, but don't binge the whole thing tonight. Like,
I'm gonna do it. I'll be blackout drunk, not remembering the episode.
He's gonna text you at 7 in the morning.
Leave it on play and shit. I'm gonna abuse it.
It's clear. Zach is a beast. It's clear.
He's an animal.
he is an honorary binge watcher.
So hey Zach, besides watching The Serpent for the second time, what else have you watched this week that you'd like our audience to take a look at?
Oh shit. I saw Judas and the Black Messiah. Have you guys seen that one yet?
No.
Oh, yeah. That's
the HBO Max.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was the HBO Max original. That was good.
That was an opportunity to plug the Bigfoot movie again. Oh, shit.
Well, go check out Judas and the Black Messiah on HBO Max.
And if you have time to watch a second movie.
I hear there's this Bigfoot movie.
Yeah, you should check out 15 Things You Didn't Know About Bigfoot. Number one will blow your mind.
Yeah.
I feel like such a, I don't know, just people should just go watch the trailer. If it seems like something they're into, then, you know, rent it, watch it. I don't want to just tell people to, like, I don't know, go see it blindly. But, you know, if it's something you're into, just Google it and check out the trailer. And then even if you don't like it, go ahead and just give me your money, you know, just fork it over.
You have to get the money up front.
Give me the money.
Yeah, and if you don't want to buy the movie, you send to my Venmo. Same thing for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Could you post your Venmo real quick, Zach?
Yeah. Hell yes.
My aunt's dad is really into Bigfoot, so I'm going to tell him. So,
dude, so many people are more into Bigfoot than I thought. So many.
Dave, I want you to tell him about the documentary and then ask him what he thinks. If he knows about it.
What documentary?
There's a Sasquatch
thing. Oh, the Sasquatch documentary.
Oh, the Hulu thing.
Yeah.
Dude, so that's... Have you seen it?
I did watch it.
Is it good? I haven't seen it.
My wife liked the crime documentary. It's interesting. Yeah, I mean, it's... kind of goes down turns you didn't expect, but then at the end of the day, it's like, okay, I guess that makes more sense than an actual Sasquatch.
I heard the twist was that somebody misheard something.
I mean, that's a long and short of it. It's just basically lore is what it comes down to.
I should go watch it, but
Pot Farms.
When that came out, all right, so we shot our movie back in like 2018.
Oh, wow.
And they shot that in like 2019 or 20. I only know that because I like stalked like one of the producers. like when I saw the trailer, because what happened was when I saw the trailer for it, it felt like exactly the thing we were making fun of. Like, because like literally in the trailer, he's like, "I'm a real important journalist." Like he says that. I'm like, "Who the fuck talks like this?" So I was like, is this real? Like, I thought maybe they were fucking with me. It feels weird because, like, it kind of feels like, are they fucking with me? You know what I mean? Where you're like,
right. Specifically.
Yeah.
Yeah, I watched it in reverse. You know, I watched that documentary first, coincidentally. Yeah. And that, I'm like, oh, this is what he's making fun. You know, so, like, it did add an extra layer to me for me watching it.
Yeah, it was strange because we had our movie, like, in the can for, like on a hard drive and finished for, like, a year. Like, over a year. You know what I mean? It just takes forever for an indie movie to come out. But, yeah, whenever I saw that, I was just – it felt like being in – what's that Will Ferrell movie, Stranger Than Fiction? Like, I was just like, what the fuck? This dude's a real guy? Like, I made this guy up. The fuck is he doing out here in the real world?
You manifested him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but I need to check that out. I need to watch it and see what's up.
Well, hey, Zach, thanks for hanging out with us and telling us about your movie. It's pretty awesome.
Dude, thank you for having me on. Johnny Spoiler, what was your recommendation? Did you have one for this week?
Yeah, no, I didn't hear yours.
I watched this Tony Hale comedy called Eat Wheaties, where he's obsessed with Elizabeth Banks and supposedly they know each other from college. And nobody believes him that he has a relationship with her, and they try to... His like his life starts to spiral out of control because of the basis of he's not backing down from his, I don't know, standards or whatever. It's pretty interesting. It's got that guy, Dave, who's the actor that played the guy accused of blowing up the Atlantic Olympics? Did you see that? Richard.
Richard Jewell.
Yeah. Paul Walter Hauser.
Yeah. Yeah. So he plays the dude's lawyer in there and they got to deal with some restraining order stuff. It's kind of like,
nice.
Remind me of it's very kind of like it's like if indie movies still existed. Well, they kind of do. I mean, yours is independent, right? But it feels like it could be like an early 2000s independent movie.
I know what you mean. Yeah. I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah, like a Sundance movie.
When indies peaked, you know, like just like there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like 94 to 2001, basically.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It feels early 2000s or something, but it's cool. It's called Eat Wheaties. So yeah, so if you just want like a comedy just to throw on and you're not really processing anything, go watch Eat Wheaties. There you go.
Eat Wheaties.
Hell yes.
I can't endorse it too strongly, but I can say it's definitely entertaining. Yeah.
Okay.
Nice.
I'd buy that for a dollar.
Check it out. I'm definitely watching The Serpent.
Oh, yeah.
There you go, yeah.
Do you feel so good, guys, Adam? You
pop it off a serpent in the rainbow.
You guys beard is similar. You got like a beard connection, you know?
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So guys, what are the coming attractions?
So the staff pick has something to do with some kind of fucking melting dude next week because Adam picked something weird with like a guy that melts.
What's the movie?
The Incredible Melting Man.
Oh, I've seen this. Oh boy.
Yeah. The spoiler is the title, so I don't know what you can do about that, but that's
it's pretty good. It's fun.
Yeah. It's about I'm just gonna how watch
the Mr. Science Theater version.
That'll be next week. And then
it's going to come in. My favorite bit version was when Crow said this.
So Nick, it's getting late.
Yeah. So guys, I had a great time. We had Zach on. Go check out his movie. Go to our website, sponsor our show. Give us Venmo money too, if you want. You know, do
just
it all.
Crack open your Venmo and just make a fucking day of it, dude. Give that shit away, man.
Yeah, sponsor everything that you've heard on the show tonight. And just got real good.
Actually, Zach, this was the first NFT episode, so if you can't get an NFT, nobody's able to hear this episode.
Hell yes, man.
But, stuff got real. We had a good time. We had some drinks, and we talked about Bigfoot and some awesome movies. So this is Nikki T saying lights.
Peace.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, Zach, are you sticking around for the after-show cool-down where we watch an episode of something?
What are you guys watching?
I
didn't even know.
Dave, we're watching an episode of that Primal cartoon, right?
Primal, yeah.
Episode of this weird animation called Primal or whatever.
Oh!
Gendy Tartakovsky.
Yeah.
Dude, I haven't seen that. Where is it? Is it on HBO Max right now, I guess?
Yeah.
Dave's going to get his stuff set up, and we'll throw it up in the stream yard here.
Hell yeah. Let me get another beer.
Nice.
Wait.
I probably got 10 minutes of it, but I'll watch a little. I'm ready to go.
I think that's about how long the episodes are.
Oh, it is? Okay, perfect, yeah.
Nick, you show up late, then you leave early.
I know, dude. I know.
He's got to vomit. Come on.
I got a work project. It sucks. It sucks. Life.
I think. Okay.
Oh, well, and hey, Dave, you got to set up committed. A Venmo now for our show. All right, buddy.
Yeah. We need a ticker of like.